in the garden and landscape for the first hour of the Rosie on the House broadcast, as we are every Saturday morning. John J. Harper's here with us. And Heber Overgaard, we've got a special guest who joined us last year for the Crawfish Festival. Come over from Pine Top Lakeside, owner of Christopher's Nursery. Welcome, sir.
Welcome.
We've been talking in the first part of the broadcast about, you know, mostly things are dead. And
in the valley. Gotcha.
And my solution is August. Move to the rim.
Well, actually, we've had kind of a tough year, too. It's been so darn dry up here with the drought. We've lost a lot of things, and a lot of people, you know, go back to the valley and don't water, and a lot of trees collapse up here, too. So we've had little issues in that arena.
It's everywhere, huh?
Dry winter, and they don't realize you got to water in the wintertime even.
Absolutely.
If it's dry. You know, a guy with the golden barrel, we replace probably as many cactus in landscapes because people don't realize, you know, when you go 120 days without rain, even the cactus need some water. So
it's kind of interesting right now, too. Since July, we've only had like 2.25 inches of rain locally in our area, and that's nothing. Yeah. So we're still dry here.
Wow.
From the reports I'm getting statewide, y'all are on the light side of the monsoon. I was talking to friends down in Patagonia, Sonoyta, Elgin area that are just getting pounded as much as 6 inches since the beginning of the monsoon. Friends over in Alpine, Nutrioso, Hannigan's Meadow, they're just washing away over there.
They're getting a lot of rain.
They're getting a lot of rain.
But we're not. It's kind of funny. It's little pockets, and it's building up a little bit, but we're really not getting a lot of rain. Normally, we get a half inch, you know, every afternoon, and right now, 2.25 inches is all we've logged since 1st of July.
That hurts. I talked to a friend in Tonto Basin. They said they were getting a lot of rain, had a lot of rain this monsoon season.
Seems to be very spotty.
All good to hear. Well, just fortunate enough. We're getting enough that we haven't seen much of a fire season this year, so we're all very thankful for that, aren't we? Fire that we really had to fight over in the Sedona area so far, and pray that's the only one we have to deal with this year. So even the dryness and the winter visitors, the summer visitors in your neighborhood leaving their plants and ignoring them, hoping they'll make it through the winter, y'all have a lot of plant loss.
We had a lot of plant loss this year. You know, it's the age-old deal. Everybody just, goes back, second family homes or second, cabins up here, and they go back in the wintertime, and you can't run your irrigation system all winter long. And, a lot of people lost a lot of things this year.
As long as I've got you here, we've got property over on the San Francisco River, right on the New Mexico border.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can I plant aspen? They tell me aspen's hard to get going.
What elevation are you?
8,600.
Oh, absolutely. You could plant aspen over there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You augment the water. I'm sure you can grow them over there.
Yeah, well, we're right on the river, so I can give them all the water they want.
Mm-hmm.
So
you should do fine.
I've just been told by several people they're just hard to get started. And I guess part of that problem is the elk like them so much, right?
Well, that is an issue, no doubt about it.
But with the Wallow Fire, they got more aspen over there in the White Mountains. We're going to have some of the most beautiful falls. If there is a silver lining in a 500,000-acre square mile fire, mm-hmm. we're going to have some beautiful falls the next 20 years.
Oh, you will. And actually, that country was going to come back. It'll be beautiful. It's not going to have the same,
height
and, story with the trees, but it'll be beautiful.
It's thick. There's areas over there, Romy, that you and I used to hike that you can't even walk through. Literally, the aspen growth is so thick you cannot even walk many places you and I used to hike.
I have not spent any time there.
I know.
Since the fire. I'd like to see it. Although I don't know, it might break my heart. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. We've been getting ready for some fall gardening coming up. Do y'all have a fall gardening, or by the time you put it in and it's ready to cultivate, it's frozen?
Well, it's kind of you're kind of hitting the nail on the head, but we'll put a lot of mums in the fall and a lot of pansies and things like that can take a lot of cold.
And bulbs. You can greenhouse them.
Do you do bulbs in the fall?
We do a lot of bulbs in the fall too.
Yeah.
You know,
so planting in the fall for spring, for spring blooming.
Tulips, daffodils, crocus, fall bulbs. Bloom in the spring. We do a lot of that in the fall too. So.
That you don't see much of that in Phoenix anymore because people with desert gravel land, there's just not big beds of things like bulbs, and up here where you can, you know, around tree wells and flower beds. Love bulbs.
Yeah, the nice thing is we get winter chilling too. You know, right. In the valley, you have to stick them in your hydrator drawer to get them to, you know, pop.
There's not too many things that naturalize. Where up here, you just leave them in. And
that's it.
They come back.
Mm-hmm.
And by naturalize, you just leave the bulb in the ground year round, and every year it just keeps coming back.
Yep. Just after they get through blooming, they'll get kind of a tawny color. You cut them off and leave them in the ground, plant over the top of them, and then the next year they pop back up again and off they go.
Now, how long have you been in Lakeside?
38 years.
38 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, like every other part of Arizona, you've obviously seen a lot of growth.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things, what kind of natural growth landscape do they have? I picture a lot of pines, but Sholo, I would imagine a lot of your customers come from the Sholo area where you're out of the pines there. What's the natural planting for shade trees in this area?
Well, actually, there's a lot of options on shade trees. You know, the maples all do real well. Cottonless cottonwoods do real well. Locusts do well. Ash does well. There's just a good selection of trees that will grow in that area. And actually, yeah, Sholo is just a little bit lower, a little bit drier. You'll see a lot more pinyon and juniper in that area, but there's a lot of trees that'll do real well in that area.
Now, you can extend your growing season up here simply with a little greenhouse structure, right? And some plastic or something like that. I mean, we've got a neighbor over in Nutrioso. He's got a better garden than anybody I've seen in the valley. I mean, it's acres and acres and acres. Just beautiful, just lush garden. And he has greenhouses, a little quadrant of it and stuff. But I've always wanted to play with that a little bit more.
Well, the greenhouses are fun. It's they're more of a play toy up here.
Are they?
But really, this is great gardening country. I mean, we grow fabulous gardens, and our soil's kind of tough in our area. We've got a lot of rock in the soil, so raised beds, you know, you can build raised beds, raised garden beds. And but every year, I mean, the gardens are great. I've got a fabulous garden going this year.
I am the poster boy for Bellegarde raised planters. Bellegarde paver raised planters. It's easier on your back.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to deal with all that junk that's in the soil down there below. You put your geotech material down, you fill it with good soil, and throw a little irrigation in it, and wham, you got a garden.
I get it. Actually, I love that block. Some of that tumbled block is really striking, good looking.
Yeah, no mortar, none of that stuff. You just stack it and go.
What kind of produce do they have? I know there's a seed company out of Sholo that cultivates a lot of seeds. Sweet corn, is that it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What are some of the big harvest areas for crops in this area?
Really, there's not a lot of commercial stuff being grown. A lot of little small, farmers market kind of deals going on now. But really, you can grow almost anything up here. All your cold crops, broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, beans, you know, tomatoes, squash, everything grows real well up here.
Yeah, they'll grow all, we have to divide it into two seasons, right? You have your winter crops like cabbage and broccoli and cauliflower, and then the summer, tomatoes, well, they do it all in one season. That's the nice thing is you get all of your vegetables at one, instead of, people get so frustrated. They come in the spring and they want to grow a salsa garden. They want tomatoes and peppers and cilantro, right? Well, you can't grow cilantro. Just as soon as it's about 80 degrees, 85 degrees, it's gone. So, that's the thing up here. You got cabbage and cauliflower and corn and tomatoes, and you got it all. You just need to learn how to can.
Well, and I would have to believe a garden up here is going to require a tall fence.
Yes and no.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah, actually, it's kind of funny.
Or diligent archer.
Down there, we've got to worry about gophers and rabbits.
Well, we've got gophers up here, and we're starting to get a few urban deer, too, right in town. And there's a little pot of deer running through, and occasionally you'll have a guy come in just smoking hot because all of his corn got nailed by the deer. So, but yeah. Chain link fence.
Oh, man, I would think you'd have to between the elk and the deer and everything else.
There's some guy I know that's got a flock of turkeys in this neighborhood, too.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. The foxes have really blistered my turkeys.
No.
I lost a lot of turkeys, but I actually just had a hen hatch out five baby chicks, and we trapped her, and I've got it in a pen right now. So
that's a miracle.
Yeah, I originated with a Merriam Rio cross.
Really?
Yeah, some guy gave me a handful of them, and they've just been perpetuating themselves for
years.
Well,
I'll be darned.
He's got turkey. You know how you drive down the highway and it's got watch for deer thing? He's got watch for turkey signs. Turkey crossing signs out on his road in his neighborhood.
Well, part of we're up here at Bison Ranch for the annual Crawfish Festival. Part of the crawfish boil, traditionally, corn, potatoes, and onions. And this year, we've got a bin of corn coming over from Mortimer's family farm. They should be here. We'll start shucking at about 10 o'clock.
What are you bringing? 1,600 ears of corn? Is that right? Is it 1,600 ears?
Well, a bin is 750 ears.
Okay.
And these are a little over a foot long. And that's a little hard to work with in the boiling pot. So we like around 6 to 8. So we'll cut those in half.
Okay.
So we'll have a total of about 1,400 pieces of sweet corn growing right here from Arizona. The potatoes are all coming from Camp Verde.
Nice.
All of our produce this year is coming from the local agriculture.
There is some corn in Taylor, isn't there?
Yeah, Taylor corn should be coming off a little bit later in the month here.
We talked to them just because it's closer,
right?
And yeah, they weren't ready for
just
they weren't
short.
Ready for a bin of corn yet. So
we can kind of follow the corn. You know, you can kind of follow the corn. You know, the Valley sweet corn is ready in May, and then Camp Verde, and then Prescott, and then over here. So you could buy fresh sweet corn all summer long just by traveling up through Central and Northern Arizona.
Add that to part of your staycation.
Arizona Corn Trail.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you'd like to join the conversation.